Heaven is our hope. That is truly, truly the hope that we have. I'll tell you something. I've been listening to a song all week. It's called It's Party Time. And this is by Jeff and Sherry Easter. This isn't some, but they do it in a country and western style. Has anybody ever heard It's Party Time? I'm going to tell you what, if you have never heard it, I tell you, go on YouTube and play it. I'll tell you what, it talks just about what we're talking about right here. It talks about a lady who was born in the 1900, and she found the love of her life when she was 15 years old, and that was Jesus. And whenever she died, the song goes on to say, it is party time. She finally met what she... You know what, pray God, that's the hope that we have. Rolling will understand that. There's no way, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not understand what we say whenever it comes time for us to leave this world. It is party time if we're a child of God. Because like that song says, there's not going to be no more of this nonsense that we live with down here. This world's beautiful out here. But do you realize that as beautiful as this world is out here, it's decaying every day. It is decaying every day. And praise God, we're going to a place where there'll be no more decay, there won't be no more heartache, there won't be no more sickness. And I'll tell you what, that is hope. That is what I'm hoping for. That's what God has given us, that blessed hope that we have. And I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning and do not know Him, you can have that hope. You can have it. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what, can you feel the Spirit move? Can you feel the Spirit moving? And I'll tell you what, if you can't feel Him, praise God, get up here and let Him move in your life. I'll tell you what, I'm going to preach on letting Jesus into your boat this morning. If you want, I'm going to preach from Luke 5 and also from John 21. First off, I'm going to Luke 5. We're going to go with Luke 5, 1 through 11. Luke 5, 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed unto Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out unto the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled with the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes had been taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come again with thanksgiving in our hearts. We praise You for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to stand behind the sacred desk that You've given, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that all hearts and minds would be open here this morning. I pray, Father, that you know what, that You would get me out of the way this morning, and that, Lord, that You would guide and direct the message the way that You would have it. And we'll give You the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Have you ever had a long, hard day at work? Have you ever had that? And all that you can think about is just getting home. Has anybody ever experienced that? And you finally walk through that door, and whenever you get there at your house, and you think that all that you want is just sit down and just a little bit of relaxation. Just give me a little bit of space. Just give me a little bit to clear my mind of the day that I've had, of the hectic day I've had. Just let me sit down in my favorite chair and just let me breathe just for a minute. Just starting to unwind. You're just starting to unwind. The phone either rings. You get a text. You're just someone not wanting anything important, but they're just wanting to chit-chat with you. Maybe the trash needs taken out. Maybe the dog needs fed. Maybe there's a thousand other things that maybe that aren't that important, but you're just trying to get just a little bit of rest. Maybe supper needs started right now. Do you get the picture of what I'm saying? You're saying to yourself, just 5 minutes. That's all I need. Just 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking. How many of you have ever felt that way? Let me see your hands. Has anybody ever felt that way when you got in the door? Have you ever felt that way? That brings me to my scripture this morning. What I'm going to talk about this morning, and I've read it there just a minute ago. The disciples weren't the disciples yet, right? They weren't the disciples yet. They were just fishermen, and Jesus had run into them along the Sea of Galilee. That's what the sea was here. They'd been working hard all night. They were thinking, we just went out and fished all night, and all we want to do is now we didn't catch a thing. All we want to do is just get home. That's all we want to do. They were cleaning their nets up. You know, they were actually had a very bad night, right? What the scripture says there, that they had been out and they had fished all night. And guess what? They didn't catch one thing. They didn't catch one thing after fishing all night. I'm sure they were frustrated. I'm sure that they were very frustrated. And that they were off to the side cleaning their nets. You know what? Every time that they got done fishing, they had to clean their nets right then and there. You know that? By reading what took place whenever these people fished, they had to clean their nets right then, because if they didn't, if they would let them dry up, they would be even harder to clean. They were probably thinking, you know what? They wouldn't make any money today. They maybe not even eat today, because you know what? And maybe even also, if they were fishing, and how frustrating it must have been to them. Their families wouldn't even be getting anything out of this either. They were frustrated. They just wanted to go home, like I said. That's all Peter, James, and John wanted to do, was go home. And then let's put it in modern times. Then the phone rang, and there was a text from Jesus. And instead of when Jesus asked him, he said, listen, he said, why don't you let me use your boat, and just also let me use your boat. Won't you push me out just a little bit out into the water? Because I want to teach these people. I want to preach. Can you imagine? You know how Peter was anyway. But could you imagine what Peter was thinking? I'm just going to use a little bit of liberty here. If you imagine, oh my goodness, really? Really? I just got the boat in the shore. I just got the nets off here. And you're wanting me to push the boat back out and let you stand out there and teach the people. Could you imagine? I can imagine Peter doing that. The way Peter was, I can imagine him doing that. You know what? But Peter obliged. Peter did what the Lord had asked him to do. But Jesus isn't finished on old Peter either. He's not finished with him. After he asked him to push him out a little bit so he can teach him, he goes to Peter and said, Peter, he said, let's go fishing. Oh, now, can you imagine Peter? We see what Peter said. I have been fishing all night, Lord. I have been out there, and there's no fish in this lake. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing out there. But again, Peter minds the Lord. So he goes out there where there was no fish, where there was no fish just a little bit ago. Isn't it interesting to note? I wrote this down. You know what? He didn't ask Peter whether or not how he felt, if he wanted to go fishing. Jesus didn't ask him that. He said, go back out there and let's go fishing. He didn't ask him his opinion. Peter then felt compelled to explain to him this. He said, you know what? We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. And besides that, our nets are clean. I just don't want to do it. Isn't that usually the way we respond when we feel tired? Remember what I asked you a little bit ago? Remember what I asked you? We just go, when you've been a hard day at work and you come home and you're tired, you just want a little bit of space. You just want a little bit of time. And you know what? Just put yourself in Peter's place here. Isn't that usually the way we respond? That would be the way we respond. Yeah, but I've had a long day. Yeah. You don't understand how busy I was today. You don't understand this. You don't understand how the kids have been. You don't understand all this stuff. Oftentimes when Jesus wants to get into our boats, when He wants to get into your boat and my boat, you know, in our lives, we have all kind of excuses, do we not? Yes, you may very well be tired. Yes, but Jesus doesn't want excuses from you and I. Amen? He doesn't want excuses from us. Often, John, Jesus comes when you're tired and when you're worn out. You're right to your last straw. That's when Jesus will come and want to get into your boat. Amen? And are you ready to be obedient no matter how you feel? That's a question for all of us to ask. That's a question for me as a preacher to ask. Amen? For myself, no matter what is going on in my life, if Jesus comes and wants to get into my boat, per se, wants for me to do something, He's not wanting excuses from Dave Long. You understand? And may I add this morning that He's not wanting excuses from you either. Amen? He doesn't want excuses from any of us when He wants us to do something. Are you ready to be obedient? I think Jesus does this that in our weakness, whenever we're at our last straw, that Jesus has found that He can become strong in our lives. Amen? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 tells us this. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient. Now listen to me. His grace is sufficient for everybody in this building here this morning. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You may be sitting here this morning. This is great scripture. You may be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, what can I do? I'm nothing. Yes, you are something. If you are a child of God, then in your weakness, then you know what? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's talking about His strength is made perfect through your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. This is Paul speaking, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at in your life. But Jesus may be trying to get into your boat, and you may be thinking to yourself, you know what? There's no way that I can do anything. The life that I have right now, I'm telling you, the Scripture said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let Him be the one to do the work. He's not asking you to do it. He's wanting you to be the vessel that He works through. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I have found out in my life that whenever Dave Long is at his weakest point, and I'll use me as an example, throw your own self in there. I hope you've seen this too. But whenever I am at my weakest and lowest point in my life, that's when God does the work that's needed to be done through me. Not by me. He works through me. He works through you. I am nothing, and I hope that I continue to be a willing vessel. And you know what I want you to be? I want you to be willing vessels. I want you to be able to let Jesus Christ get into your boat and let Him work in your life. It took about 2 seconds for Peter to respond. It came out of the response and said, but if you say so, then I'll do it. If you say so, listen, what if they had a cell phone back then? What if they had text messaging back then? You know what? Nowhere. I can hear Peter now. I could just see him now. And Jesus had texted him and said, you know what? Go ahead and go fishing while the boat's out here. Listen, go ahead and go fishing. Can you imagine? I can just, knowing Peter, that what we know a little bit about him in the Scripture, I can just see it now. Oh, really? Oh, come off it. I don't want to do this. Why should I? I've been out there all night and haven't caught anything. How they were possible to try to catch fish in the middle of the day. Oh, do you know that they did most of their fishing at night? Because they didn't want to fish during the day because that was the bad time to fish. There was no fish. They didn't catch no fish during the day. But here this man was, this Jesus, telling him to go out and cast his net out. And he knew full well that he hadn't caught anything anyway all night. Maybe he wanted to prove Jesus wrong. I don't know. Maybe reluctantly. I don't know what his reasoning was. But he went ahead and did it. He chose to be obedient. Do you see that? He chose to be obedient. See what happens when you follow the directions of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that. Remember this. What Peter and the other fishermen learned is of great value to you and I. Amen? We need to be obedient. Doing what God asks doesn't always make sense. You agree with me on that?
I'm telling you right now, if you're going to mind what the Lord wants for you to do, it's not always going to make sense. It's not always logical. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not always convenient either. Whatever your life is, wherever you're going in life, I'm telling you this morning, if He's wanting to get into your boat, it may not be convenient for you. It may not make any sense to you. It may not be logical. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you are born again Christian, it's not logical to begin with. Amen? The world will tell you there's no logic to it. How in the world can anybody's life be changed by believing in a dead man? Let me tell you, he's not dead. And I'm telling you this morning that if you believe in him, he will change your life. The Holy Spirit of God can dwell in you. That may not be logical, but it is the truth. It is the truth. Believe that wholeheartedly this morning. If you want him to get into your boat, you've got to be obedient. You've got to be obedient. Obedience will always be the best course of action. Do you understand that? If you, no matter what, regardless of whether you know the outcome's going to be or not, obedience will always be the best course of action that you and I can take. Period. Period. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel say, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? This is one of my most favorite. This is my most favorite scripture. That's a word right there. It says, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold. And I like this. To obey is better than sacrifice. Do you get that? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. If you're going to err on any side of caution, you err on the side of obedience. You understand me? I don't care how much you sacrifice. I don't care how much you give. If he's telling me to obey is better than sacrifice, you obey what the Lord puts in your heart. You obey what he wants you to do. And you say, well, how can that be? If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you've got the Word of God, and you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm here to tell you this morning that you can obey what God's telling you to do, because you'll know what he wants you to do by reading his Word, by prayer, and by the Holy Spirit guiding you. Obey is better than sacrifice. Always. These guys put their net into the boat. Go out there. And Jesus instructs them to throw their nets in. I'm here this morning to tell you there may be times Jesus is instructing you to throw your nets in. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the purpose of it is. And you know what? You may not know whenever he's telling you to do it what the reason will be. But if you do it and you obey, I'm here to tell you, if Jesus Christ is in, it'll always work out in the way he wants it to work out. Amen? It'll be above and beyond all your expectations. And lo and behold, the nets come up, and what are they? They are busting at the seams. Am I right? The scripture tells us the nets are busting, and they had to call other boats over. Obedience will also take determination by you. Do you understand that? You had better be determined if you're going to be obedient. You have to set aside yourself. You have to commit to choose Jesus no matter what the issue is. Many things in life can test for our attention. Will you agree with me on that this morning? There are many things in this life that we live that are battling for our attention. I'm just here to tell you that's the way that it is. They do it in my life. I know if it's doing it in my life, it has to be doing it in your life. There's many things that contest. Then trust and follow His direction. And that's the most effective, that is the most important, and the wisest decision that we as Christians can make. The disciples learned. They learned this. It wasn't about their logic. It wasn't about their great ability to go fish. Their ability, it wasn't about their boats. Guess what? It was about Jesus. Amen? Amen. It was about Jesus. It wasn't about any of the other stuff right there. It was about Jesus. And if you're here this morning, the number one lesson that you can learn in your life is that if you really and truly want to be obedient to Him, it is always about Him. It'll always be about Him. And if it's not about Him, you better redirect and find out what's going on in your life. Are you determined today? Are you willing to listen to what Jesus has for you to do and has for you to say? Imagine the moment that old Peter turned around. Imagine this. And he said, and he fell before Christ in humble fear. And he says, you know what? Don't be afraid. I want you to come and be fishers of men. Amen.
I want you, once they were confronted with the power and the reality that was Jesus Christ, He asked for their whole life. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you turn your life over to Him, if you accept Him into your heart, He wants nothing less than your whole life. Nothing less. You think, well, how can that be? I've got a family. Listen to me. I've learned this. Listen to me. If you give everything to Him, He'll take care of your family. You understand that? Everything to Him. If you do what He does, He will take care of your family. That is an important lesson that we need to learn. That if we really and truly trust what He's wanting us to do, He will take care of my children. He will take care of my wife. He will take care of the things in this life that are important to us down here if we uphold what is important to Him, and that is spreading the gospel and doing what He wants us to do. He wants our whole life, and He will not accept nothing less. Nothing less. Basically, He was saying, you trusted me for fish, now trust me for everything else. Amen. You trust Him today for the, you trust Him today. You trusted Him for your salvation. Now, listen to me. Trust Him for everything else in your life. Are you trusting Him for everything? And I mean absolutely everything. Often, we seek the big fish story. Boy, what a big fish story that would have been, right? They almost sunk two or three boats right there with fish because they obeyed the Lord. On the day that they had their best fishing day. Do you understand that? Those guys probably had never, ever done that before in their life. Almost sunk three boats or two or three boats with the fish that they hauled in. Guess what Jesus asked them to do? Give it all up, leave it all behind, and come and follow me. Amen. I don't know, on the best day of your life, I'm here to tell you. I don't know, on the best, absolutely the best day of your life, if you decide to go ahead and just continue to follow Him, it'll be even better for you. Amen. Amen. Guess what? The boats are filled with fish. They were up to the shore, and what's Jesus do? He said, come and follow me. And you know what they did? They left it all. The boats full of fish, everything, they left it. And they went to do what Jesus Christ wanted them to do. Man, think about that for a minute. Think about that. The interesting thing about this, Jesus, He said He doesn't want to give you He doesn't want to just give you a good story, a good testimony. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. He wants to transform your life. That's what He wants to do. Man alive, the testimonies that we have whenever Jesus saves us, but guess what He did? He saved me, and I've told you about it numerous times, but guess what? He transformed my life from what it used to be to what it is to this day. Oh yes, there's ups and downs, there's ins and outs. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you there's not going to be, but I'm here to tell you He transformed me from what I used to be to what I am today, and that is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He wants to transform you. He wants to do that today. He wants to get into your boat. Your choice to obey Him will only lead to you giving up more of yourself. Do you believe that? If you continue to obey Him, if you continue to obey Him and do what He, you'll be giving up more of yourself. Amen? You'll be giving up more of yourself. And that's the way that it works. That is the way that it works. It's not about church on Sunday. It's not about whether or not you quit swearing. There's so much more to Christianity than just that. Am I right? There's so much more. Jesus will call you to leave what you know, like He did Peter. And He calls you. Listen, it's tough. It is tough, I know that. But when you begin to experience the life that Jesus Christ, the abundant life that Christ speaks about, listen to what it says in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Sean was talking about the thief up here this morning. Amen? He was talking about him up here this morning and all his little minions that are around. He comes with nothing but to seek to destroy your life. But guess this, I have come that you may have life. And guess what? Have it more abundantly. Or have it to the fullness of your life. And you say, well, how can I have abundant life if I give up everything? Listen to me. You'll never regret the day that you do that. You'll never regret it. I'm here to tell you, you'll never regret it. The Lord has blessed. The Lord, you ask the people that have been serving Him for years. Praise God. They'll tell you, the ones will tell you, they've never regretted a day of it. Because their life has been full. Their life has been abundant. Not of the earthly things. That's sometimes that stuff right there, or some of that stuff that we, that we consider that that's the great stuff out here. But that's not all what I'm talking about. That is good if God has blessed you that way. But the blessings I'm talking about are the ones that come from the spiritual side of this thing. Look at what happened when Peter took... Look at what Jesus did. He took a loudmouth fisherman. Amen? He took a loudmouth fisherman and made him the rock of the early church. Amen? That's exactly what he did. And guess what he can do with us? Guess what he can do with us? He took a backwards, shy, 16-year-old kid and he saved him one day. That's what he did with me. He saved me one day. And praise God, he, down through the years, he dealt with me. He called me to preach, and I am here today. And one of these days, guess what? It's going to be party time for Dave Long. You understand that? It's going to be party time for me. And I don't want you going and crying over top of me, because that's not what it's about. I'll be experiencing the joys of heaven the moment that I close my eyes in death. And you know what I want to do? I want you to be the same way here this morning. I want Jesus to get into your boat. I want Him to. I want you to obey Him. The level of your devotion directly affects the level of your fullness. Amen? It will do that. And praise God. I want to tell you now, if you would turn over to John 21, 1 through 9. John 21, 1 through 9. And after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Canaan, and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the nets on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of the fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard this, it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, and they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw the fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Amen. Doesn't it ring? Where have you heard that story before? In a different way. Where have you heard this story before? Listen to me. I just read to you over in Luke, where we were talking about there just a little bit ago what we just did. And it said they realized that they had seen this before. Listen to me what the disciples were doing again. Listen, they went out there to go fishing. They'd been fishing all night again, and again they did not catch anything. Jesus is on the shore, and he tells them, he said, Have you caught anything? They tell him, No, of course, we're going back over. He said, Well, cast your net on the other side. You understand something here, folks? There are times when Jesus wants us to obey, and guess what? There's times he just wants us to cast our net on the other side. You understand that? You know what? And you could say, well, why didn't Jesus just make the fish go around to the other side? Why didn't he just make the fish jump in the boat? Because he wanted obedience. He wanted obedience. And whenever they obeyed and they cast it on the other side, guess what? Perhaps God is asking you to do something beyond what is simplistic. Again, I'm going to that again. Maybe God is asking you to do something this morning that is above and beyond just the little simple things in your life. Maybe something that you do every day. Maybe something that you've done all your life. And maybe God is now asking you to do something else in your life. Listen to me. Be like the disciples and cast your net to the other side. And one other point I want to make about this before we quit this morning. When it says there in verse 10, and when they bring the fish which he had caught. And it said, Simon Peter went up and drew the net. When it got to land there, and it said right there, and it said, When the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, and as they were 200 cubits dragging the net, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and no bread. You see the fire of coals there? Marcus, you know where that's only used one other place, where that's right there, the coals is used. You know where it was at? Remember whenever Peter was warming himself by the fire, the night that he denied the Lord three times? That's when it's used one other time. Can you imagine Peter coming up on shore and smelling that coals again, just like he did that night? I don't believe nothing's done for without a reason. And I believe whenever Peter come up there, you know what? I believe that right then and there, he realized and he knew that what he had done against the Lord. And I pray this morning that you listen to me this morning that you know what? If God is dealing with you, say, come and get a song. If God is dealing with you this morning, I ask you to come this morning. This altar's open. You know what? He's wanting you to obey. Cast your nets out. Listen to what He has for you to do. And I pray this morning that you'd listen to Him.